chaos of the world and looking at the world through the eyes of someone that is an earthling. So what if we're looking at the political systems right now? We're looking at what's going on. I'm looking at my own nation. I'm embarrassed sometimes to call myself a Canadian. But that is who I am. And so this is the thing. I can look at the natural circumstances, or I can look at the way God sees Canada. And I know the prophetic words that have been spoken over my nation, and you know what? That is who I am going to believe. That is the nation that I'm going to believe in. And right now, in the world right now, what is on the stage in God's mind is, what is your nation? Is it a sheep nation or is it a goat nation? And we have come to that time when God is going to be judging nations. Not just individuals, but nations. We've come to that time in history when God is going to look at how is that nation treating Israel. First of all, that will determine whether or not you're a sheep nation or a goat nation. Are you friendly with Israel? Are you honoring Israel? And the second thing is, are you honoring the body of Christ in that nation? Because if you are not treating, you see, as he is, so are you. So if you're treating the body of Christ, they don't realize what they're doing. Because by treating the body of Christ negatively, they're treating Jesus negatively. When Paul said, and when he heard the voice from heaven, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the Christians? Did he say that? No, he said, why are you persecuting me? Because in God's eyes, that's how we're seen. We're seen as him. And he's saying, Saul, and there's another scripture. It says, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So the nations are in the balance right now as to how they are being treated in the nation, how the body of Christ is being treated in the nations, and also how Israel is being treated in the nations. Thank heavens our prime minister apologized to the Jews last week. That's the first stroke in the positive for him. And I thank the Lord for that. And so here's what we're doing right now. We're fast coming to a place where the body of Christ is no longer going to worship God, is no longer going to walk in the way that we've walked before. It's serious business. It is not about us adding Christianity to our life. Jesus is not an addition to us. It's like I was on a national call the other day, and I said, I don't think they see that this is not a club. This is not a club that we've joined here. This is this very centrality of who we are. We are people of God called by his name. That's who we are. And John says, as he is, so are you. As much as he's done it to the least of these, he's done it. So that's what's going on right now. Nations are in the balance. Nations are in the balance. Our whole Christianity for 2,000 years has all been about me, 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 me. Oh, and then there's myself and I. It's all about what's in it for me. Well, I don't want to go to hell, so I better accept Jesus. Well, I should go to heaven, so I better accept Jesus. That is actually, Johnny Enlow says that causes spiritual abortion. You know, and it also calls a malformation of a fetus. Why? Because it's the wrong motivation. Because we are here for God. And we get people saved for one person, for one purpose, and that is to know Jesus and to know the God. And also to know, it's like I've heard people say this, and it somehow it kind of drives me nuts. But they just want revival, 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 revival. I said, and once you get revival, what are you going to do with it? Revival is not a goal. Revival is not a goal. It's nice to have revival, but what are we going to do with the revival? Because God is a God of purpose. God is a God of destiny. And so, yes, we need revival. And Lance Wolno, he says that revival comes from the earth upward, and reformation comes from heaven downward, and awakening happens in the middle. And we need an awakening. We need an awakening where the body of Christ actually becomes the body of Christ. We need, and this is the season that we've gone into, where it's now serious. It is now serious. And it's not about my bobos and my hurts and my offenses and everything else that is behind. Because what God is doing is he is trying to give us an inheritance. You know, and like the prodigal son, when did the prodigal son get his inheritance? Was it after the father died? No, the father was still with him. When do we get our inheritance? Now. Now. We get our inheritance of everything that we're meant to be, the power that we're meant to be. I heard this guy teach this, and I loved it. There's a reason why they put Jesus in us. There's a reason why Jesus was put in us. Because that means the covenant of God was also put in you. And everything that covenant brought is now attracted to you. Is now attracted to you. And everything that Jesus is inside of us, heaven is like a homing pigeon that is targeting Jesus in you. And it's interesting because our faith level has to change, because it says that the faith of Jesus, the faith of Jesus that's in us. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not your faith. It's not your faith. You don't have enough faith to raise the dead. I'm sorry. But he does. But he does. And so when we pray for somebody, are we using our faith or are we using his faith? His faith, yes. And so we come up to somebody and we shun to Honda and do whatever else. And it's Jesus coming out of us into them. You know, it's like we have gotten ourselves in the picture and we need to get ourselves out of the picture, because we look at ourselves and we say, oh, I'm a worm. Wretch. I'm no good. When we see all our faults and failures, which, by the way, is a pile of lies, because I think there's a scripture that talks about no condemnation. I think it's in there. And what it means by no condemnation is that there's just no condemnation. So get over your condemnation self. Like, this is not where God is going right now. God is going about transforming this world. He's getting ready to have such a move of God, and we have got to come to a place. There's a scripture that says, when I come back, am I going to find faith on the earth? Because I think a lot of Christians don't have the faith they need. But, you know, I love this teaching. These things that are happening on the earth, they're not happening to us. They're actually happening for us. You know, because every problem that we are facing, there's always going to be a promise there that will overrule the problem. Because you can't outwit God. You can't outpromise God. Because God is bigger. So in every circumstance that we go at, this circumstance is there for one reason: to help us believe God more, to help us grow more, to help us discover who He is more. And so every promise will build us. And every problem is there to help us find the promise. Because all His promises are what? Yes and amen. You know, and so there's nothing that we can face that will defeat us, because who is in you? Jesus. Okay, so one day He was out on the Sea of Galilee, and He was tired, because He was in human form. He was tired. And He fell asleep. And the disciples said, "Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care?" They didn't realize that if you could sink that boat, you could sink Jesus. What does that say about us? That if you, the only thing that's stopping us from thinking we'll be sunk is our mind, because Jesus is in us. So what is going on in the earth is that there is an incredible power of faith that is coming upon us, that the body of Christ right now, all of this persecution, the Bible says we're blessed. Blessed when we're persecuted. We're blessed when we get persecuted. What's happening is we're being persecuted right now. We can rejoice. We can stand up and shout and scream right now, because the Bible says right now we're in the middle of a blessing. We're in the middle of a blessing. But here's a statement. Jake has named this conference, or at least I think it was Jake. Was it Jake's idea or somebody's idea? Anyway, upon this rock. So I want us to go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, it's just before Matthew 17. So that was for you, Danny, just in case you were kind of wondering. Yeah, I'm just here to be a blessing. That's okay. So Matthew chapter 16. And actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Bible, because I'm speaking and I can use whatever version I want. So there. So, Matthew 16. Okay, cooperate you. Okay. And let's go to verse somewhere up there. Okay. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples this question: "What are people saying about me? What are people saying about me?" That's a good question. What are the people around actually saying about Jesus? What are people saying about me, He said. What are they saying? Who do they believe I am? Who do they believe I am? I'm putting this to us as believers today. Who do we believe He is? Who do we believe He is? And then they answered, "Some are convinced that you are John the Baptizer." You know what's really funny about that? He was dead. John was dead. The next one says, "Some believe that you're Elijah, the prophet." Do you know what's really funny about that one? He was dead. And then the next one, "Oh, some people think that you might be Jeremiah, the prophet." You know what's really hilarious about that one? He was dead. He was dead. And so all these people, like, what is with the belief that they believe that he was one of these? Do they believe in reincarnation? Or, you know, I wondered why they thought that he was one of these dudes. And then He says to Peter, and this is a crucial point, "But who do you say I am?" Who do you say that I am? And I think this is where the body of Christ is hanging in the balance right now. Who do we say Jesus really is? Is he an addition to our life? Is he just a savior? Because if he's just a savior and we've gotten saved, well, beam us up out of here and get us out of here. Yeah. Is he just a savior? Who do we say that Jesus is? And so Peter answered, because all of a sudden God gave him the smarts to answer, and he gave him a divine revelation. And he said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. This is who you are. You're the Son of the living God. And so he said this, you are favored and privileged, Simeon, or Simon, son of Jonah. One of the signs in Matthew was the sign of Jonah that proved who Jesus was. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be. And here he names Peter and says, and he says to Peter, you are favored and highly privileged, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone. And this truth of who I am, this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church. This truth of who I am will be the bedrock on which, and the foundation of which I will build my church. Upon this rock, this revelation of who I am, 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 this revelation of who I am is the bedrock, is the foundation of the whole church. He says, and I will build my church. And then there's a slash in the Passion Translation, and it says, my legislative assembly. I will build my church, slash, my legislative assembly, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. My legislative assembly, the gates of hell will not prevail, will not win, will not be defeated. We are looking at what's going on in the world right now, and some Christians are shaking in their boots. They don't know who Jesus is, the bedrock of who he is. If you can defeat Jesus, you can be defeated. I will build my church, my legislative assembly. That sounds to me like government. That sounds to me that there is someone that was put in charge by Jesus. Now, how many been to Israel? How many been to Caesarea Philippi? Okay, Caesarea Philippi, if you were ever in Israel, is actually the headwaters for the Jordan River. And there is a cave there. And there is a bunch of gods, god of Pan. Baal worship was there. It was actually a very demonic stronghold. And here Jesus has the audacity to say this statement in front of these gods. By the way, every god will bow to the name of Jesus. What happened to Dagon in the Old Testament when they put the Ark of the Covenant What happened? The God, that statue fell face down. Why? Every God will bow to Jesus. Every God will bow to God. And so here he is. You can't tell me that there were not Roman soldiers around there. You cannot tell me that day when he was making this pronouncement that there was not another government there. There was all these people that believed in all this other God thing with Pan and everything. And Jesus is making this statement. And he's saying, I'm not building a denomination. I'm not building a structure with a steeple on it. I'm not building a certain bunch of people that stay behind four walls. He said, no. He made a statement and he used a word called ecclesia. And that word ecclesia was known all over the place in the Greek culture, in the Roman culture. They all knew what that word meant. And he said, I'm going to build my ecclesia. In other words, my government, my legislative assembly. He said this in front of them. And the gates of hell, because where was he? That place, Caesarea Philippi, was called a gate of hell. And he said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Upon this rock, this revelation of who he is, I'm going to build this church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he goes on to say, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Why keys? Keys are everything to do with power and authority. Because in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, there's a story in Isaiah 22 about a man whose keys, the keys were taken away from him and given to another man. And those keys could unlock the city or lock the city. They could unlock and say, you're welcome to come in to this city. Or that person could also lock the city and say, you are not allowed to come into this city. And so he said, I am going to build my ecclesia and I'm going to give them keys. And they are going to unlock things that don't belong, or lock things that don't belong, and unlock things that do belong. So what is going on right now? All over the nations, the body of Christ is rising up and realizing their governmental authority, their governmental power in which to bind things on earth so that they're bound in heaven, and loose things on earth so that they're loosed in heaven. Why? Because we really are a governmental people. But if our focus is on me, myself, and I, if our focus is on me and what's in it for me, we will never accomplish anything. But when we see that, when we stand together and say, no, this will not rule our nation, this will not rule our city, this will not rule my home, this will not rule my church, this will not, no. I am taking my inheritance, and when I get my inheritance, you have to realize that Hebrew culture is that they don't give an inheritance to children. They have a right to the inheritance, but they cannot receive the inheritance. It's only until they're mature enough to handle the inheritance that they are given the responsibility to take care of things. And what God is doing right now is there is a measure of spiritual maturity on the earth right now where the body of Christ is being raised up into who they are in Jesus. And they are saying, no, this will not happen. And you will reverse, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell. But if we're earthbound in our thinking, oh, did you see what happened? Did you see what happened? Oh my, what are we doing? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. What kind of faith is that stuff? I didn't say crap. Okay, Jake? Okay, I thought so. Yeah. See, our view has to line up, because where are we actually seated right now? In heavenly places. And what really is our citizenship? Heaven. Okay. So in other words, if I'm a heavener or a heavenite or whatever you want to call me, then I am already in a position of leading on the earth. Okay. But an earthbound person, actually Paul says in Corinthians, he says, aren't you acting like, if you're having fights and quarrels, etc., he says, aren't you acting like a mere human? He's saying, why are you acting so human? I can understand Tom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I love you, Tom.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
What's that?
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, good, yeah. So, but we're more than a mere human. We're more than a mere human. You see, here's the thing. If we spend most of our day in the human environment and not in the environment of being a spirit with a human experience, then what happens is we become a powerless church. We become a powerless church because I spend more time thinking about the natural realm than I do about the heavenly realm, in which I'm a citizen of. And so when we are in our humanity and we pray, oh, I hope it works, God. I just pray it works. Oh, God. I just pray it works. Who would answer that? No. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We have to. Why? It's about upon this rock of knowing him. I will build my church. The revelation of who he is. What if God is putting us in a season where we get to know him more as the body? And I love, Graham Cook said this. You don't get your cues for life from the earth. You get your cues from heaven. He says, you don't get your cues. In other words, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? Like my friend Danielle that got healed of cancer. She didn't get her cues from the earth. The doctor said 4th stage cancer. The doctor said this. And she says, but I'm not listening to that voice. I'm actually going to another voice, a higher voice that has more authority. And she listened to that voice, and now she's totally healed. She's totally healed. Why? Because we're of a different culture. We don't belong here. We're of a different culture. If we embrace this culture too much, we die. But if we live above the culture, then we can, he said, and they said in the book of Acts, aren't these the ones that turned the whole world upside down? They couldn't do that as human beings. Not as mere humans. You can't do it. That's why if you watch Jesus, you watch him in the Bible and the Word. When all this stuff, this Pharisees come at him, and this woman is caught in the very act of adultery, and etc., do you see him reacting to the moment? You and I might be tempted. Ah, yeah. You know, these Pharisees, don't they just get under your skin sometimes? But Jesus did not react. Why? Because he wasn't from the earth. He just... He acted as the Son of God. So this is why you and I have got to come to a place where we're detached as a mere human. Where the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So one of the speakers that Ducky had at her church, he began to say that he was praying for the sick, and he'd lay hands on them, and a few people got healed. But he said exponentially it changed when he spent time speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. Because where is the power source coming from? It's coming from heaven. It's coming from God. So you have to be plugged into the power. And so what we're doing is we should be shunda-hunding. We should be praying in the Spirit. We should be doing this all the time. Find yourself praying in the Spirit. Find yourself. Practice praying in the Spirit. Why? Because it is your true language. It is the true home language of where we are. And we become more spiritually attuned to what God is doing. We get our orders from heaven. We cannot be bound by anything occurring in the world. Chuck Pierce said this, the issue that is before us right now is choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you. He said the issue right now is choice. Are we going to live by a lower standard and get fearful, get afraid by all the news, the fake news, and all the stuff that is going on? Are we going to live there, or are we going to live by another way? And I think the biggest thing is upon this rock. Upon this rock, this revelation of who He is, I will build my church. So the question is, how do we know Him? One of the biggest things that God is showing me is how to get me out of the picture. How to get me out of the picture. And trust that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. It's His faith that will heal. And when I'm praying for people, I kind of step back. I don't know if you can visualize this, but I kind of step back in my inside, and I just allow Him to pray. Now, do you think God will answer Jesus' prayers? Do you think God? I think Jesus has a lot of favor. And so when we begin to pray for one another, we begin to pray for situations, we need to come to a place where we just kind of step back. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jesus does not expect you to live a Christian life. He will live a Christian life through you. Jesus does not expect you to live a Christian life. He will live a Christian life. His life will be lived through you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives me, who loves me and gave Himself for me. You know, if we could do it, He wouldn't need to be in us. If we could do it, He wouldn't need to be in us. But there's something in the plan of heaven that was so unique. That was decided before the foundation of the world, that this seed called Jesus would be inserted into us and would produce a life. It talks about a seed being planted into soil. Well, what are you made up out of? Dirt. So there's something about Jesus being planted in us. We can call it incarnation, if it doesn't blow your spiritual minds too much. But it's Jesus in us, living through us, growing in us. Well, He's not growing. What's happening is we're shrinking. So more of Him, less of us. Well, no, I don't even like that saying. It's what's happening is Jesus is growing inside of us. We're seeing how He sees us. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. There's a statement that reads in there, and it says, well, let's just go there. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we're among the spiritually mature. You say it mature? Is that what you guys say? In mature or mature? That's okay, I'll say it Canadian. Mature. Okay. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It is a wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age. Listen to this phrase. Who are in the process or process of being dethroned. I'm going to read it again. Its wisdom didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Is that exciting? Yay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's read 1 Corinthians chapter, or let's read 5 to 16. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we're among the spiritually mature. It is a wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Say, process of being dethroned. We declare it. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is His secret plan. Don't tell anybody. Okay. Destined before the ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world understood it, for if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of shining glory. Now, he talked last night. Bishop Cole talked about the glory. Do you know that in the other versions there, it just says, it was there for our glory. Our glory. There's a glory that we experience with God, Jesus and us. There's a glory. It's for our glory. And Jesus, what I really think, oh, Jesus just gets the glory. Jesus gets glory. Well, this scripture says it's also our glory. Because if we say it's just Jesus, but Jesus is saying, he's saying, no, it's also for our glory. Because you see, as he is, so are. Yes. I love this. In Isaiah chapter 51, there's a verse that says, it says, Don't forget the rock from which you were hewn. Okay, so he's talking about us being hewn or carved out of a rock. And who's the rock? Jesus. And so he says you were hewn or you were carved out of the same substance, out of the same rock that Jesus was. So you cannot look at the rock and say, well, this rock, this part of the rock is not good. This part of the rock is garbage, but this part of the rock that we came out of is beautiful, but this part was not beautiful. It's the same rock. It's the same rock. And this is where we've come to a place where we realize that no, God intended before the world that he would work in us, he would work through us, and he would share everything with us. As he is, so are you. And I'm telling you something. If you have Jesus inside of you, all of heaven is targeting you. All of heaven is targeting you. Every bit of favor that Jesus had is now targeting you. You don't walk down the street, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Okay, you don't do that. No, because everything that Jesus has, we have. In fact, he said, greater things will you do than I have done. Greater things. It's about time we did the greater. Okay, why is the greater not happening? Whose fault is it? Yes. What's that, my bro? Look in the mirror, yeah. I know. This is what's in front of us. This is what's in front of us. Is the greater. But the only thing that's stopping us, as he is, so are you. And like I've said before, my testimony is I remember just being so frustrated with me. And God helped me with this process by me walking up and down the road, as he is, so am I. As he is, so am I. As he is, so am I. He has favor, so do I. He has power, so do I. He is faithful, so am I. He is love, so am I. And I had to transform my mind by that verse. You have to realize we live in the country. And at the time, there were cows in a pasture right there. And I was walking up and down, screaming, as he is, so am I. As he is, so am I. And the cows were all going. They were in agreement. It was great. Even the cows recognized it. As he is, so am I. As he is, so am I. As he is. What is he? Like, this rock. I will build my church upon this rock. This revelation of who I am. What are the fruit of the Spirit about? He is what? Love. He is joy. He is peace. He is patience. Oh, I hate that one. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. He is patience. He is yeah, long-suffering, faithfulness, goodness, meekness, and all these things. That's who he is. So am I. Gail? As he is.
So am I.
Right. That's right. As he is.
So am I.
Right on. Because he's powerful.
So am I.
Because he is faithful.
So am I.
Absolutely yes. Nice. Absolutely yes. And you know what's really neat? This God of covenant that lives inside of me, that lives inside of you, that even when you're blowing it, it's okay. The covenant's still in you. this agreement. He knew you couldn't do it on your own. So what we do is we come to a place where we start trusting in his nature to change us. Trusting in his nature. The more we live in this world, the more we're going to go down. The more we are going to be attuned to the place that we really come from, the more we're going to succeed. Now, I know my brother Steve Mianshi. I know that he goes all over the place preaching the gospel. How much of it can you do in your own strength? Nothing. How many miracles have you done just by yours? None. Okay. Why? What makes him powerful? Upon this rock of revelation, of knowing who he is, yes, can change the nations he goes to, can change the people he goes to, can transform Thief River Falls in this region. My legislative assembly that decides upon this rock, we will build the church. Does this look like God in this region yet? Then we're working on it. That's right. It's better. Yeah. Why? Because when Jesus is on the throne, things fall into order. And God's bow down. Can you see? Can you visualize the gods in this region? When we bring the presence of God, even as Dagon in the Old Testament, even as in that story, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant in there into that room, and they thought they were doing a good thing, and here every morning they went down there and their God was prostrate on the floor in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because no God could stand before the presence of our God. So when we bring God into our region, gods have to bow. They have to bow. Gods of infirmity, gods of perversion, gods of poverty have to bow. They have to bow. Just say, they have to bow. They just do. And that's where we're at. Upon this rock, the revelation of who God is, he is going to build his church. And the gates of what? Will not. Anyone that says the earth is going to hell in a handbasket is not telling the truth. They're deceived because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Shundahunda? Okay. So, Father, I thank you, God, for the commissioning that you are doing on the body of Christ right now around the world. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that there is a mighty force rising up. And Lord, this force is a force that knows you. Those that know their God will be strong and will carry out great exploits. In Daniel 11:32, it says that. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking for more revelation of who you are. We're asking, God, in Jesus' name, that we would know you in a way that blows our circuits out, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask, God, that you would give us more revelation as to who you are in the name of Jesus. Let's just stand to our feet. And let's just ask him, we want more. We want more revelation. We want to see you more. We want to experience you more. Lord, we want to know you more in Jesus' name. Lord, we want people to look at us and they'll say, is that Jesus? And Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you are strong and mighty. And Lord, it says that we will carry out great exploits, those that know their God, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, when the question comes up that says, who do men say that I am? We can say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is God. He is God. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we pronounce over this region, Jesus Christ is Lord in Jesus' name. And Lord, we command that the gods of this world bow in the name of Jesus. Lord, that infirmity, even in this house tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you will bow. You will bow in the name of Jesus. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is Lord. And you will bow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, for the poverty, in the name of Jesus, you will bow. You will bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Okay, let's take a little break here and we'll resume in a little bit.